In a few minutes, the power of being Siri, Alexa, or Bixby. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There are some 800,000 federal employees directly affected by the partial government shutdown, such as the safety inspectors for airplanes. Airlines say that flying is still safe. And then there's the Food and Drug Administration, responsible for watching over about 80% of everything we eat, Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
When the federal government is operating normally, FDA employees are in charge of making sure lots of stuff is safe to eat. The apple you take to work, your kid's baby formula, even your dog's food. Trevor Suslow with the Produce Marketing Association says during the shutdown, there are
less inspections at facilities, less inspections at ports of entry, sample collection, the laboratory technical services.
The agency oversees everything from a farm's soil to the produce processing plants. And if there's another E. coli outbreak in romaine lettuce, the FDA says it's putting together a plan that would call in more employees as early as next week. One problem, they might not get paid. Paul Light teaches public service at NYU. He says that's a problem.
You don't want any employee who's in the surveillance business to be devoting a nanosecond to anything but the mission at hand.
The FDA doesn't regulate meat, poultry, and egg facilities. That's the Department of Agriculture. Those inspections are still happening during the shutdown. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Chrysler, more precisely FCA, based in Italy, is reportedly going to settle with the U.S. Justice Department for diesel Jeeps and pickup trucks that gamed EPA emission rules so that they polluted more in real-life driving conditions. Reports suggest FCA will not admit wrongdoing. The Associated Press puts the settlement at $650 million. Other reports cite higher and lower figures. Some of the money is expected to go to compensate vehicle owners. Checking markets, the FTSE index in London is down slightly. The S&P future here is down 0.5%. With the Federal Reserve chief due to speak midday, the benchmark 10-year interest rate is down at 2.7%. My colleague Molly Wood, host of Marketplace Tech, is in Las Vegas at the huge technology showcase known as CES. Molly's a real intelligence, not an artificial one, but maybe it's just a matter of time for both of us. Hey, Molly.
Hi, David.
Maybe I should say, hey, Molly, and you'll just sort of repeat back in a robot voice what's going on at CES.
Exactly. I'll say, here's the latest news from the Consumer Electronics Show.
That's the big deal, though, right? I mean, because you can say, hey, Siri, but it goes beyond.
It does. You know, it's very interesting because over the last few years, there's been a steady march in the tech industry, of course, toward this idea of everything being connected. Your connected refrigerator and your Alexa-controlled microwave. And that is, of course, on display here. But what's fascinating is this sort of layer of the huge companies that we know that don't usually have a big presence at a show like CES. Apple, Google, Amazon, and actually Samsung, making a play for being essentially the controlling layer of technology. Each one of them wants its voice assistant to be essentially the one ring that controls them all.
Well, it's like when Microsoft became the environment for the personal computer. It brings with it a lot of power and a lot of opportunity for someone to make money.
Exactly. And it's interesting to see these companies say, sure, go ahead, you make all the doohickeys you want. But what we want to do is make sure that we're in there so that whatever that device is, Google or Apple or Amazon is the one that controls it. Now, Samsung, to me, is making the more interesting argument here, saying, hey, we already make the televisions and the phones and the laptops and the refrigerators and the washing machines. So it's really easy for our artificial intelligence, Bixby, to control all of those. It's a clever way to make that pitch.
And whatever happened to virtual reality? It's getting a little quiet on the VR front this time?
It's certainly present here, but it's almost like background. It, almost like autonomous driving, is an example of a technology that just did not move as fast as I think the industry wanted us to believe. It seemed kind of clear from the outside that it really is not a mainstream technology that works that well for as many things as I think some companies hoped. What I'm actually hearing a little bit more about is augmented reality. The idea that you point your phone at something and you can see where, you know, maybe a couch from Wayfair, how that would look in your actual living room, that kind of thing. And I think ultimately what the consumer technology industry is realizing is we're running out of things to sell people. And so it needs to be a little more concrete and a little less future.
Molly Wood, host of Marketplace Tech at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas this week. Molly, thanks.
My pleasure, David.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Now, an update on the economic disarray that is Venezuela, with its president Nicolas Maduro starting his second term today after winning a widely discredited election last spring. Venezuela's a big oil producer. Here's my Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand.
When Nicolas Maduro took office in 2013, Venezuela's economy was growing at 1.3%. Despite falling prices, oil revenue that year totaled more than $85 billion. Francisco Minaldi, an expert on Venezuela at Rice University, says mounting debt was already a challenge.
If President Maduro had done some of the macroeconomic adjustment that even his advisors had told him to do, the situation would have been much better.
Instead, Venezuela's economy is now shattered. Inflation hovers around 1,000,000%. Oil revenue has plummeted by 83%. Julia Buxton, professor of comparative politics at Swansea University, says a second Maduro term does not offer hope.
There is a huge subsidy on the price of domestic gasoline, and this really benefits wealthy classes. But the government has simply not had the appetite to address some of these really crushing contradictions in its own economic strategy.
With more U.S. sanctions announced on people close to President Maduro, it's unclear he'll survive a full second term. In London, I'm the BBC's Anu Anand for Marketplace.
There's news that young people who came to the U.S. from Europe, Australia, South and Central America as au pairs could share in a nearly $66 million proposed settlement of a lawsuit. The suit claims companies that placed the household help colluded to keep wages low, sometimes below minimum wage. The suit also claims au pairs were asked to do unreasonable extra duties like feeding livestock. Some were denied permission to eat with families. 100,000 former au pairs could get compensation. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.